It doesn't have the kick of an engine that I always come to expect when I drive a car. But once it gets going, it feels pretty similar. It handles relatively well. The accelerator is very responsive. It's very, very similar to driving a regular car. There's some noise from the motors when they start that sound a little concerning if you're not ready for it, but once you get over the initial sort of 10 meters or so, it goes fairly silent. It's a very quiet drive. Occasionally you get some rattles if the suspension hits resonance at about 100 Ks. You can get some interesting noises up there, but on the whole, yeah, that's like, everybody always comments like, oh yeah, this is a really quiet car to drive.
A world-breaking solar electric car built by undergrads. And it has room in the boot for the groceries. Later in today's episode of Off Track, it apparently corners like a race car too. Anne Jones with you on RN, and put your seatbelts on because we've got a driving theme going today. A lot of the beach driving that goes on in Australia happens on islands, probably most famously Fraser Island. And just south of that sandy island today, on the mainland, we're at a place called Rainbow Beach. It's a small town, built right onto the surf almost, and with a vehicle access permit, you can drive along that beach all the way from Rainbow Beach to Noosa. It's mostly easy going for a four-wheel drive, great sandy straits with stunning views, except for a couple of sticking points, one of which is right in front of the Rainbow Beach Township itself. Mudlow Rocks, a collection of boulders partially obscured by sand and surf. Somewhere between 30 and 80 cars come to grief here every year. Glenn Wiggins is a tour operator in the area, and he also acts as a four-wheel drive taxi. He's been driving these beaches for at least 15 years.
We're standing in what's called Mudlow Rocks. This is all actually coffee rock that we, just a petrified vegetable humus. And these are quite infamous. Yeah, they're quite dangerous. Nobody's ever lost their lives, but there's been a few hurt quite badly in the hip pocket here.
So why are they dangerous? Because I'm looking at them, right, and what we can see is sort of low, beautiful surf rolling in, the rocks meeting the sand. It all looks very tranquil.
It does look very tranquil at the moment, but it's not always like this. When the seas pick up, what happens is a bit more sand gets taken away and more of this rock gets exposed, and they get harder and harder to actually get around. Small swells coming in put sand back on the beach, large swells take it away. So at the moment we've got the small swells, which is putting sand back on the beach now every time it comes in. So they'll get better and better over the next couple of days. But it doesn't take long for them to turn around. You can see a lot of sand in the water out here at the moment, and that's all been ripped out of these beaches. This big rock just in front of us here, that was actually about a week ago. You couldn't see that rock, it was totally covered.
So every time you come down here, you don't really know what to expect.
It's different every time.
If you were going to try and take me around to the other side of these rocks in your four-wheel drive, how would you approach it?
I'd be waiting what we call the seventh wave, which is that there's always one in seven which is bigger than the rest. Wait for that suck back, and then I'd be driving. At this particular point, I'd be driving out closer to the water than the rocks, because that's where the holes develop beside the rocks, and go on the outer bank around there.
So is that where people get caught in the holes that develop?
Yeah, it does change, but that's usually when the waves come in, they'll create a big hole right beside the rocks, and it's just natural for people to want to drive as close to the land as possible when they're coming around areas like this, but that's not always the best.
Can you describe how an accident might happen here?
Yeah, there'd be a car. We'll probably see one come through shortly. He's going to try and get around these rocks, and he's actually going to go too close and down a hole. Some of these holes beside the rocks can be metres deep, and it doesn't take much to get hooked up on one of them. And once you're stuck, the rescue vehicles won't come and get you on an incoming tide. So you're going to be through at least one full tide. Yep.
Here we go. We've got a huge trucky thing, a big four-wheel drive tourist vehicle that's just about to go. What's he thinking, you reckon?
Oh, he's just having a look. There's going to be no problem with him going through. He's got the height. He'll go through on the outer bank. Although I know his boss real well, and his boss doesn't like him driving through water at all.
So he's sitting, he's observing the swell, probably?
Observing, see whether he's going to take it or not. I won't mention the company's name in case his boss is listening.
Well, no. Well, let's talk about beach driving, right? Because this isn't the norm. You can't do this everywhere in Australia.
No. There's not too many places in Australia you can drive a couple of hundred kilometres on an unpopulated beach. We don't pass one building. It's really Australia's nature coast at its best. There are a few islands around places like Fraser Island and Bribie Island, Moreton Island, Stradbroke Island, where you can drive on the beaches, but not too many places on the mainland.
And what are the rules?
All road rules do apply. All the beaches here were changed under the Transport Act back in 1991, so all road rules do apply. In the peak season here and holiday season, the police do random breath tests, they do speed cameras, they do the lot on the beaches, seatbelt checks, the lot.
Can just any sort of vehicle come down here?
But to the letter of the law, you can drive any car down on the beach. It's at your own peril if you bring a standard vehicle down here, because they're the ones that will get in trouble. You do need four-wheel drive to get yourself out of trouble more than anything, yeah.
Are there things that you do to this four-wheel drive to make it better for beach handling?
Basically, tyre pressure is the biggest thing on the beach. Let at least 10 psi out of each tyre. Give it that little bit of sponginess. It'll get you out of most difficult situations, yeah.
When you're driving along, we've got, say, a wide beach in front of us with the surf coming in. Which bit are you aiming to drive on?
Closest to the water as possible is the hardest part of the beach. Without driving in the water, of course, you don't want to get salt water all up underneath your vehicles, because it's not good for the vehicles. Anything that gets hot, like brakes, exhaust systems, anything like that, attracts rust very, very easily. And our vehicles, we do a fairly good rust-proofing regime. We do it twice a year. But, yeah, if you're going to drive on the beaches, there is maintenance you must do to your vehicles, for sure. Here we got a bloke coming. He's not even slowing down, this fella. That's all salt water flying around there.
Right, they were spraying water up all over their car.
They'll be wondering in about 3 months' time why their brakes aren't working. It's going to cost them about $2,000 to replace all their brakes and everything.
If it gets stuck and the tide comes in, what's the result on the car?
Oh, look, once the water goes over your seats and all through your wiring of a car, it's a total write-off. If you have insurance on your vehicle here, you are covered. It can turn your car into an unrecognisable piece of metal that it'll start ripping. If the seas are big enough, it'll rip the bonnets off, it'll rip the doors off, it'll take the roof off. It'll turn your car into an absolute ball. You wouldn't recognise what it is. The power of the surf can do anything to metal. You can just bang it, twist it, shape it, unbelievably.
Then what happens? The rescue crew just have to come down and rescue a hull.
Yeah, they if they are insured, the insurance companies will remove them. They do want them to be removed, but again, it's up to the rescue vehicles whether how bad the rocks are here, whether they will come in and get you or not. But there are about a dozen vehicles here buried underneath the sand that they can't get out. Sand just comes in and covers them over. If we lose over 3 metres of sand here, they all become visible again. But you just the vehicles won't come in here because it's too dangerous to try and pull them out. So they just leave them there and the sand covers them over again. There's that much sand moves around this region. It's not called the Great Sandy National Park for nothing. It all comes up from down south, yeah.
And it really is a beautiful reminder of how impermanent our beaches are, how much they change every single tide.
Every single tide. Every time the tide comes in and out, it does something different. It's like, I've been doing this for 13 years, but I've been around here since about the 1973 driving on the beaches, and changes daily. Nobody can say they know it that well.
Have you ever had any close calls?
I've had quite a few close calls. I've never lost a vehicle. I got one fairly wet once, but other than that, nobody can say they've been dealing with mudlow rocks here for years and not had any issue. It's they can be very unforgiving, that's for sure.
Is it locals that get stuck, or is it a tourist thing?
Locals know about the rocks probably better than the tourists. What makes it so probably so dangerous here is people driving up from the Sunshine Coast get to this point, and you're actually seconds away from town. You've only got probably 200 metres and you're up on the bitumen here in Rainbow. And the only alternative is to turn around and drive all the way back through a track called Freshwater, which probably takes you about an hour and 15 out of your way. And the temptation of getting to where you want to be so quickly is sometimes just too much to take. I've been guilty of it myself. I've gone around here when I probably would have been wiser not to, but having a little bit more experience, we've managed to get away with it. But, the main thing is, just even if you get out of the vehicle, you decide to do it, get out of the vehicle and walk it first. And as you've seen just while we've been standing here, there's not too many get out of their vehicle. They just plough straight through it, yeah.
Do you think it's because we get a bit of a God complex when we're in our vehicles, that nothing could harm us?
Yeah, could be that. But I think it's just people being impatient more than anything, in a hurry to get to where they're going. Where that's the society we're in today. Everybody's in a hurry. A trip from Rainbow Beach down to the Sunshine Coast, depending where you're going on the Sunshine Coast, averages about 2 hours, where you can actually drive down to Noosa from here in about an hour and 10 on the beach. So it basically cuts out the drive between Rainbow Beach and Gympie. So you're heading straight down, and the quickest way to anywhere is a straight line, and that's what you got on the beach, straight down the coastline.
You would actually go down past these rainbow sounds, out past the lighthouse?
No. We drive along, it's about 10k from here, along past Rainbow Beach's coloured sands. There's a little cutting just on this side of this first hill up here, where it's only about 700 metres across onto Tiwa Beach, and it's about 55k drive down the beach. Yeah.
So is that how you go to get to the airport and whatnot?
Absolutely, yeah. The Bruce Highway can get a bit boring, the drive up and down, but there's always something happening on the beach, that's for sure.
You reckon he's going to go for it?
Yeah, well, it'll be go well over his bonnet then there, for sure. He'll go straight down and more than likely get hooked up on a rock there, because it is quite deep, and then he won't be able to go forward, won't be able to go back. All he'll be hoping is somebody will give him a tow out.
Yeah. Ah. Wise.
Glenn Wiggins from Surf and Sand Safaris at Rainbow Beach.